knows. So here is, you'd like to know how long the Emperor of China's nose is. But your only problem is, no one's ever seen the Emperor of China's face. So what do you do? You go around every person in China and you ask him or her to guess how long the Emperor of China's nose is. And you average those 1 billion numbers. If it's a billion data items, your guess is incredibly accurate. Okay, that's sort of the theme for the talk. Part of the thing also is that in math, especially in pure math, we like to prove things. You know, we say something appears to be true after a million or after a billion. We always want to prove to be certain it's true. And people often say, why are you proving that thing? It's obviously true. And some things which aren't quite obvious turn out to be false sometimes. So I'm going to start with something which really is obvious, and really doesn't need proof, and we'll sort of proceed on from there. So here's my starter question. So we're a group of people, say we're 1,000 people, and we're going to vote in a referendum on some issue, so it's topical and so on. It's a yes-no question. There is a right answer. And the way it's going to work is that each person casts their votes, yes or no, and then the majority is deemed the decision of the group. Okay, I suppose I chose 1,000, stupid, that's an even number. Let's say if we split 500 each, we toss a coin. Okay. The only problem is each person doesn't have a clue what the right answer is. Okay, so it's a yes-no question, but as far as each person's knowledge goes, there's a 50% chance that the true answer is yes, 50% chance it's no. Okay? So each person's vote is useless. By useless I mean as likely to be right as to be wrong. So obviously, however you choose to vote, the majority get right half the time. Right? So maybe your clever system is I will go in to vote and I will toss a coin. Maybe you'll say I'll go in to vote and I will tick the box mark yes. Maybe you'll say, you know, if my shoes are blue today, I'll map. Say yes, otherwise say no. But whatever you say, your vote is as likely right to be wrong. Right? That's what I mean by 50% either way. So of course the majority of those are as likely right as to be wrong. Everyone happy with that? Great, good, okay. And that is, of course, that's too obvious to be approved, but anyway. Let me mention a particular example I have in mind with this. So here's an example of that setup. So we've got our 1,000 people. So this is a beautiful PowerPoint version of 1,000 people appearing on the screen, one by one. What's going to happen is they go into a room and each person gets a hat, a red hat or a blue hat. And they're put on by a judge, and the judge puts them on at random. Okay, you've got a fair coin. So the judge comes to each person, the judge tosses a fair coin, and puts on a red or blue hat accordingly. Does that make sense? And of course, you can't see your own hat, as in all hat stories. So this person's got a red hat, a blue hat, and so on. It's a red hat, and so on. So you can see the other hats, but not your own hat. Okay. I want to stress that the judge tossed a fair coin every time. So even if you look around the room and you see, not very likely, you see that every other hat is blue, that in no way implies your hat is blue. Okay? If every other hat is blue, there's still one chance in two hats is blue, one chance in two hats your hat is red. Does that make sense? And here's the burning issue of, oh yes.
How many people? How many people are there?
It's still 1,000. That isn't changing. It's still 1,000. And the burning issue of the day is the number of red hats even? Even number of red hats? Question mark. Now, do you agree? Of course, there's either a right or a wrong answer to this. Each person is utterly clueless about the result. And whatever you see, if I look around the room, I see 507 red hats, then if my hat's red, the answer is yes to that question, if I'm red's even. If mine's blue, the answer is no. So whatever I see, it's as likely the answer is yes as no. That makes sense to everyone? Yep. So each vote is useless, right, whatever I do. Now, of course, it's not a trick question, so we're going to vote at the same moment in secret. So we're all in the room, hats are put on, we vote at the given moment. There's no cheating where I listen to your vote and based on that, dot, dot, dot. We go to the same moment. So no information will be passed between us. Okay, globally agree that this is the example of the clueless vote, right? That each person's vote is as likely right as to be wrong, and therefore the majority get it right exactly half the time. Make sense to everyone? Okay, now, if you do try and prove that statement, and it's obvious, doesn't need to prove, but still, if you try and run a formal maths proof, you find there's an annoying obstruction. And let me do a digression now to explain what the obstruction is to doing a proof. So I'll digress for a bit, and I'll come back to this question. So my digression is a little thing, going under various names. It's sometimes called Simpson's paradox. Sometimes called the contingency tables paradox. And sometimes called raining in Pittsburgh. So here's what this statement is. So Pittsburgh play Atlanta, some random American sport, which takes place outdoors. Okay. Now you are a Pittsburgh fan, you want your team to win, it's important they win. And you keep a lot of data on how your team does against Atlanta. And what you find is that, of course, your team does better when you're playing at home in Pittsburgh than away in Atlanta. But what you find is, in either case, rain helps your team. Okay, so you've done lots of data over the years, you found that amongst games in Pittsburgh, your home team, there's a certain win percentage that goes up when it rains, when it's dry. And similarly, in Atlanta, of course, then you don't win as often as you're the away team, you find that rain, again, helps you. Okay, so big games tonight, you're listening on... So there's a thing called a radio, which lots of you are probably old enough to know about. So you might have an internet with a black screen. You're listening on the radio, again, it's important your team win this game, it's the last game of the season, and so on. And you hear the announcer say, raindrops are starting to should you be happy? And the answer is, yes, of course you should be happy, because rain increases your team's chance of winning. Or, more precisely, you reason, I don't know if it's a home game or an away game, but whichever it is, rain helps my team. So my knowledge, knowing it's raining, increases the chance my team wins. Okay, let me give you some examples of actual probabilities. I've already contained them over here. I'll have this column for in Pittsburgh with a. So I'll have this row for in Pittsburgh, my home team. And this one for Atlanta with the away team. The columns are marked wet and dry. And let me give you some examples of win percentages. So let's suppose that what you find is that when you're a home team, you win 60% of your games in dry, with up to 70% in the wet. It's a higher number as well. And similarly, Atlanta, which tends to be lower, let's say Atlanta, you win 20% of the time when dry. So this content means amongst games that Atlanta when it's dry, you win 20% of the time. And a higher number, 30%, so again, your reasoning is, you know it's raining, so whether it's a home game or an away game, your win chance has gone up. So the knowledge it's raining helps you if it's home, helps you if it's away, and it is home or away, therefore you're happy. Okay, that's a great example. Let me fill in, I didn't do the number of games we'd spot in the forecast. I didn't tell you how many games we've seen in each of the categories. Let me fill in the numbers now. So there have been 1,000 games when it was dry in Pittsburgh, and 10 when it was wet. In Atlanta, 1,000 games when it was wet, and 10 when it was dry. Okay, so in total, what is the chance that we win if it's wet weather? So the probability of we win, given that it's given that it's wet, is what? Well, let's see. There are 1,010 games in the wet, of which about 30% were wins for us. Right, 30% plus some tiny number. So it's about a 30% chance. What happened to that? It's 1,010 games, of which we won 307, about 30%. What is the chance of we win, given the weather is dry? Well, there are 1,010 dry games. We won 602, so that's about 60%. Okay. So actually, we were wrong. We should be very unhappy that it's raining. Right? The knowledge it's raining decreased our knowledge of what we're going to win from 60 in general down to 30. And what's going wrong? Why does that happen? This is a apparent paradox. It's because Atlanta's a drier place than Pittsburgh. Or more, it's because knowing it's... Sorry, Atlanta's wetter than Pittsburgh. Because knowing it's raining... Remember, we didn't know where the game was. That's a key thing. Knowing it's raining makes it much more likely the game's happening in Atlanta. Right? So it is true that, technically speaking, once we are at bat, whatever the motion would be, a bit of rain is good for us. But it's not the case, we should be happy to hear on the radio it's raining, because that increases the chance that actually it's actually an away game, which is bad for us. Okay, does that make sense to everyone? That seems to be a paradox. Now, for some reason I don't understand at all, when this is presented in SATs textbooks, they don't present it with big numbers like the obvious. They present it with sort of 54, 46, and you check the numbers and you say grudgingly, okay, I kind of agree, I was wrong, but let's see why. So it's absolutely clear why it's true. The exact same thing, by the way, is why you have two hospitals, Hospital A and Hospital B. Hospital A says, we're better at curing cancer. Better success rate. Hospital B says we're better at curing cancer amongst men and also better amongst women. They can both be true statements because maybe men have much lower recovery rate from cancer, maybe one hospital, many more men than the other hospital does. So they can both be true statements. Of course, in that example, the hospital that says we're better at curing men and at curing women, that's the one you actually would believe, because they're not actually better. In the sense that here, once we're in a given stadium, at that point, the presence of rain then helps us. So it is true that rain helps us, but it didn't help you, the fans, knowledge. Okay, that's the end of my digression. And put another way, you could say the events of it's raining and the game is at home aren't independent of each other. There's lack of dependence. That's what makes that happen. Oh, if it had been the case, the chance of it raining, say in both places, then it's an easy exercise to know what should happen when it rains. Okay, and that ended my digression, and what I wanted to say was that when you try and prove this thing, your proof works if the votes are independent of each other. So here's an example of a non-independent thing. Supposing that here's the system we've agreed on how we're going to vote. We go into the room, get our hats. Suppose person number one says, I will look at person number three. If he has a red hat, I will say even. If blue, I will say odd. Okay, of course, I'd like to be wrong. Suppose person number two, his voting idea is the same. You're saying, look at person number three, the same person, and again, if he has a red hat, I'll say even. If blue, then odd. Of course, these votes are rubbish votes, of course, but the key thing is that persons one and two are voting the same way, aren't they? So they're not independent, the votes aren't independent of each other. They're still rubbish votes, of course. I think I might be wrong, but they're not independent of each other. If someone were to tell you person one's vote, you know what person two's vote is. And what turns out happens is when you try and work out a formal maths proof of this, what you find is if the votes were independent of each other, it's all great. If there's independence, your proof doesn't seem to work. Okay, so the sense of reference is, okay, who cares? The idea of proof is almost a true statement, right? Each person's vote is rubbish, then everyone's vote is rubbish. In terms of the majority of it's rubbish. Okay, so let me mention a particular voting strategy, which of course would only be right half the time, like all of them, but let me see what I presented. Is there an eraser thing?
Yes, just over there on the table.
Here's a particular voting strategy. What you could say is, each person does the whole thing. They look at the other 999 people, and whichever colour they see more of, they pretend they have that on their head and vote accordingly. Does that make sense? So if you see more red than blue, pretend you have a red hat, and you add that to a total. If not, you pretend you have a blue hat. Okay? I'll write that down. So pretend your hat colour is the majority colour you see. Comma and vote accordingly.
So you do see all the other nine.
Yes, you see all the other hats, just not your own. Well, you can't talk to anyone. Okay? Well, vote accordingly means if you're pretending your hat's red and you see an odd number of reds, you say even. If you see even number, you say odd. Does that make sense? Now, of course, there's nothing clever about that. Remember, it's a fair coin that was tossed. So if you see 2/3 of the hats in view are blue, that in no way means your hat's blue. It's not half chance each way. Okay, so there's a voting system. It's a legal system, no communication information. Okay, let's somehow look what happens in a particular case. Let me try, for example, the case where there are, say, 600 red, 400 blue. And let's see how the system works. So let's have 600 people with red hats, 400 blue. Oh, wrong colour. Okay. What do these people do? What do each of these people do? Each of these people sees what? They see 599 red hats, right, books at their own, and 400 blue hats. So each of these people sees way more red than blue. So by the rules of the game, they each pretend they have a red hat, which they do in fact. So they need to vote correctly. Do you agree with that? Pretend hat is red, so votes correctly. How about the blue people? They each see, you can't see the red hat, remember, they each see 600 red and 399 blue. Therefore, by a majority rule, they each pretend their own hat is red, so they should vote wrong, aren't they? And whenever they see, they pretend that they add one, that's wrong. So each of these people pretends hat is red, which is wrong, so votes incorrectly. Huh? That's quite interesting. What if the numbers weren't 600 and 400, but were, say, 530, 470? Let's look at it right here. Let's go right down to the case of, say, let's try, say, 501 red versus 499 blue. What happens there? Each of the blue people sees 498 blue, 501 red. So each of them are red, so each vote incorrectly. So then this would get wrong. Each of the 501 reds sees 500 red, not their own of course, 499 blue, so they get it right. They make the correct guess in their head. Aha, whoops, that's the wrong colour of the tick. So again, I'm trying to get right. So if you think about it, actually, unless it's a 500-500 split, we're trying to get right. What happens in the case of 500 each? 500 red and 500 blue. Let's think about this one. Each of the red people sees 499 red, 500 blue. They pretend they have a blue house, it's wrong, so they all get it wrong, don't they? Uh-huh. How about the blues? Well, of course, they each see 499 blue, 500 red. Each of them have red, so they each vote incorrectly as well. Okay, so that's the case. So in total, what are we saying? We're saying that with this voting strategy, the majority do get it right, unless it was exactly a half blue, half red hat split. So our key question is, what's the chance of that happening? So let's decide, what is the chance that we get it right, the strategy? We only fail when the number of red hats is 500. Now, let's write that out in a simple way. Do you remember how the hats were assigned by tossing a fair coin 1,000 times? So the chance we fail, so the chance of we fail, I'm going to get it wrong, equals the chance of the following. You toss a coin 1,000 times, and you have half heads, half tails. In 1,000 tosses of a fair coin, get exactly 500 heads. Okay, that's the chance that we fail. So what is that chance? Of course, I mean, you would guess if you toss a coin 1,000 times, you get about 500 heads, right? You'd be shocked if I said to you there were 999 heads. But we're not asking the question, is it close enough? Saying, what chance is exactly that?
One in 1,000.
I'm batting you to vote on this, so okay. So what's the chance of this one? So I need you to vote. Here are some possibilities. It could be, well, there are 1,000 cards. Each one's got a chance of 1 in 2 of heads. So it could be something like 1 over 2 to the 1,000. That's a possibility. We're going for 500. So it could be 1 over 2 to the 1,000 to 1 over 2 to the 500. Maybe it's somewhere between 1 over 2 to the 500 to about 1,000. Maybe it's exactly 1,000. Maybe it's 1,000 to 1 over 500. Maybe it's 1 over 500 to, say, 100. Maybe it's 100 to about 1 in 10. Maybe it's 1 in 10 to a half. Maybe it's exactly a half. Maybe it's about a half. Oh, I promise you, it isn't exactly 1 in 2 to the 500 or... Yeah. So, is anyone here who votes answers correct? So I'll get you to vote, out of interest, on what you think is the answer. Okay, so tossing a coin 1,000 times, what do you reckon the chance is you get exactly 500 heads? Okay, so who votes for about 1 in 2 to the 1,000? One person. Okay,
well, get people to shut their eyes while they vote.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You can't look at your respective. Okay? Who votes for between about 1 over 2 to the 1,000 and 1 over 2 to the 500? Anyone? Any cards? Zero? Who votes for between 1 over 2 to the 500 and 1 over 1,000? Who votes for 1,000? Have you changed your name? 1, 2, 3, 4. Who votes between 1,000 to 1,500? Who votes 100 to 1%? Who votes 1% to 10%? Who votes 10% to 1 chance in 2? Who votes exactly a half? that'd be such a nice number. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And about half. Okay. Who was, apart from the two mathematicians in the room, who was the other person ready for this slide? I'm not counting Roger and Andrew. Who was the third? Oh, are you a mathematician? You guys got it right. So it's actually about one chance in 40. It's about 2.5%. It's a surprisingly big answer, actually. The general answer, by the way, Bruce did, is... If you ask not for 500,000, but say n out of 2n, a big number there, it's actually the chance of n heads in 2n tosses. It's roughly 1 over square root of pi times n. It's 1 over root n type thing. It's slightly big, actually. So for example, here, n is 500. 3 times 1 is about 1600, but that's 40 squared, so the root of that is about 1.5. So this is a big answer, actually. Okay, what's the conclusion then? So our method of voting gets it right rather more than half the time. Gets it right about 97.5% of the time. It's pretty amazing, actually. It was obvious, it was utterly obvious, that you cannot be 50%, right? That in every voting system, because each vote is rubbish, the majority could be right more than half the time. It was so obvious, didn't even need a proof. Yet it wasn't actually true. So just by the way, the cautionary tale is, that's why you prove things in maths. Even things are obvious, and even, it's almost, it's pathetic and absurd, but that's to ask for proof. You want to prove it, that might not be true. Right? We all agree this number isn't about 50%, it's a lot more. This voting method gets it right 39 times in 40. Okay, that's pretty amazing, actually. You might say, okay, but wait. What was wrong with our intuition? Intuition said, each vote is a waste of time. So of course it interprets nonsense. So it turns out the following. Supposing that you take all the cases where the majority got it right, and look at by how much they got it right, how big was the majority in favour of the right answer. Look all the times that they got it wrong, or how much they got it wrong by. Those are equal. Now if you think about it, in the typical example, if it was say 503 red, 497 blue, the majority get it right, it's a close call, right? You're right by about 6. It's close. Whereas in the exact split, 500, everyone got it wrong. So that's the correct answer to intuition. It's not your intuition was total rubbish, your intuition was sort of misplaced. The right intuition is, each vote is rubbish, and therefore each vote is as likely in the winning column as in the losing column. And therefore, if you add up over all the times the majority got it right, by how much the majority were winning, you end up with all the times that are wrong, but they're winning, those are actually equal. And that's the correct intuition, not just the fact that they get it right. Okay. Now, that voting system, where the rules were go with the majority of what you see, is what's called a symmetric voting system. Symmetric means each person is given the same orders. Each person was told, look at what you see, take the majority. Make sense? There are many asymmetric ones, like maybe the first 10 people are told, go with the majority. The next 10 are told, say, even. The next 980 are told, toss a coin. So there are plenty of asymmetric systems, but So that was obviously a good thing to be doing. Okay, so next session will be, can we beat this? Is this best? So we've done amazing, we're right 97.5% of the time. The question is, can we? Is this better? If you try and find one, you'll fail basically. So you might turn trying to prove it. And what mathematicians did, they found that among symmetric systems, that's the winner. Okay, so our 97.5% is the best. They could prove this among symmetric voting systems. Now, could it help to be non-symmetrical? Well, kind of obviously not. Right? And it's just, if you try and make this chain of saying, let the first 10 people do, let's say, just say even, and the other 99 to this majority thing, you find it's not as good. And any system you think of, it's somehow daft not to be symmetrical. But still, mathematicians could only prove the symmetric case. And again, well, this time they're a bit more wary of saying, of course it's true in general. But it seems highly unlikely that there could possibly be a system, the best system could be one, which gives different instructions to different people. Remember, after all, the whole point is, at the beginning everyone's equal, right? In the initial setup, no special people. We're not told these 10 have a bias to coin, those don't. Right? All people are equally important at the beginning. Everyone agree with that? And therefore it sort of obviously stands to reason that biasing a system by giving different folk different instructions can't be a good thing to do. Plus, but people thought, it's like an open problem for a few months, and it turned out that you can do better. I just want to show you now. So this is ridiculously, even given this ridiculously 50%, even if it's slightly ridiculous, you can beat that by a non-symmetrical thing. So I'll show you a different voting system, which isn't going to beat this by this, it actually trounce this completely. They have a much higher probability than this. And what's weird about it isn't that it exists, but it exists and it's not a symmetrical voting system. So let me show it to you now. It's quite a bit more complicated than that one, so we'll take some time to talk about it, then we'll analyse it. Okay? Just by the way, for convenience, it's slightly easier to make the number of people 1,023. It's power of 2 minus 1 can help, as we'll see. Just believe me, algebraic 1023, the same thing works with 1,000, just slightly later write down. So I'm going to have 1 or 2 people, not 1,000. Okay, let me tell you this weird system and we'll start analysing it. And remember that we can't cheat, we can't pass information, people can't talk to each other. They join the room, the hat's put on, then they vote. Alright. So let's start with the instructions we're going to give to person number one. Of course, these are instructions we give them before they go into the room. Right, like the instruction says, once you're in there, vote for the majority.
If you say get past, why doesn't the following work then? It obviously doesn't work. An asymmetric system, community can take average, and therefore there will be a symmetric one which is better.
I agree. That would be great. That's very believable. I mean, that again works for the amount of votes you win argument. It doesn't work for the probability argument, the chance that they're right, unfortunately. So here's person number one. The instructions, given numbered 1, 2, 3 at the beginning, the instructions you give to the person on my written board, he's going to pretend he has a red hat and vote accordingly. Okay, no majority nonsense. His instructions are just pretend I have a red hat. I won't bother to write and vote accordingly, that goes without saying. Okay, so person number one looks at the rest of the room, if he sees 530 red, he votes forward. If he sees 565 red, he votes even. Right? Okay. Can we have a look at people, persons 2 and 3, as a little duo? Here's what they're going to do. Supposing the people were in the room, they've got their hats put on, and you said to person number 2, when voting happens, what will person 1 say? I think he can't answer that, can he? He's done his own hat colour. Right? So again, if you said to person number 2, what's person 1 going to say? He can't answer that. Right? Because...
to see about...
he can see, he knows what colour hat person 1 has by looking with his eyes to his right. But he doesn't know what colour he has. So in other words, person number 2, suppose he sees a red hat there. He knows person number 1 will have all hats he sees over here and 1. He doesn't know how many red hats are over there, doesn't know hat colour. However, do you agree that person 2 can answer the following question, which is, when person 1 votes, will he vote correctly or not? Doesn't know what person 1's going to say, but he does know whether or not person 1 will speak the truth or not. Because if he looks at person number 1, if he observes a red hat on person 1's head, he knows person 1 will get it right, doesn't he? Because he knows person 1 will think, let me pretend I have a red hat and vote accordingly. He does have a red hat. Correct. And equally, if player 2, looking right to player 1, sees a blue hat, he doesn't know whether player 1 will say even or odd, but he does know that when player 1 votes, he'll vote incorrectly. That's what makes sense. Right? Because the question of does player 1 vote correctly or not equals the question, does player 1 have a red hat or not? Okay. There is the and vote accordingly we don't know about. Okay. So here's what we'd like players 2 and 3 to do. We'd like them to say, if player 1's got a red hat, let's just abstain from voting. Yeah, the correct vote is abstain. Of course, you can't abstain, not allowed. So the official, but you also abstain means player 2 says even, player 3 says odd. So let me write that down. So if player 1 will vote correctly, I has a red hat, we abstain. And again, what abstain means player 2 says even, player 3 says odd. That makes sense so far. Again, the official instructions of the notebook for player 2 say, once you're in the room, if player 1 has a red hat, you must say even. Okay, 3 is told, when you go to the room, if player 1 has a red hat, you must say odd. Okay? That's the same sort of thing, one in each way. However, if player 1 will vote incorrectly, then we want to swap out his vote. I want us to vote the same way as each other, so to destroy his vote, two votes together. So what we're going to do, we say, let us pretend that between us we have a red and a blue and vote accordingly. So in the case where player 1's got a blue hat on, each of player 2 and 3 looks at the other 998 people, adds up the numbers in red, adds 1, not 2, they're votes accordingly. Okay. Comma. Pretend we, in players 2 and 3, have 1 red, 1 blue, and votes accordingly. Does that make sense? So again, player 2 or player 3, here's the instructions. He's told, look at player 1. If player 1's got a red hat, then you're going to abstain when you vote. If player 1's got a blue hat, you must add up all the other 998 hats apart from 2 and 3, count on the red, add 1 and vote accordingly. Make sense? Okay, so far what's happening in our voting system so far? If player 1's got a red hat, we're good, aren't we? Because voting correctly, cancel out. And if this guy had a blue hat, but they were blue, red, or red, blue, we're also right, aren't we? Because he got it wrong, but they in unison got it right. So our problem case at the moment is the case where this person doesn't have a red hat, like it's blue, and these people don't have a red and a blue, like red, red, or blue, blue. Okay. Then there should be four people. So this is players numbers 4, 5, 6, and 7. What are they told? They're told the following. Cast your eyes right to players 1, 2, and 3 in their hands. Now, again, we don't know what they actually say. Don't know enough colour. But we can answer the following question. The following question, will players 1, 2, and 3, between them, get it right in the majority? Agreed? Because if, say player number 4, if player number 4 looks right and sees a red hat here, he knows, yep, they're going to be correct. Because correct and cancel out. And equally, if player 4 looking right sees that sadly it's a blue hat, but luckily it's a red and a blue, then player 4 knows whatever they say they didn't get right, aren't they? By about early on. Aha. So what players 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 are going to say is, if the previous two between get it right, we abstain. Now abstain, of course, means, let's say, 4 and 5 shout even, sorry, vote even, 6 and 7 vote wrong. If player 1 to player 3 will, in total, vote correctly as a group, and majority, we abstain. If not, and not means that sadly this wasn't red, these weren't red and blue. We're going to vote all the same way together. Should we sort out this nonsense noise over here? And let's pretend the four of us have, an odd number of reds. Because here it was one red, here was one red, those are odd numbers, so let's go odd numbers. If not, pretend that we, the four of us, have an odd number of red hats. So again, summarise again. Here's what player four is told. Player four is told, eyes right to look at players 1, 2, and 3, work out if when they speak they'll get it right in the room. If so, stay. If you all get it wrong, they vote. Then what we do is, we count the other 996 people. So the earlier 3 and the later, how many it is, we add this number of reds, we add, for us 4, an odd number. Whatever you see, doesn't matter, add an odd number and vote accordingly. Make sense? Okay, and in total, when is this system so far giving us the right answer? Well, if this guy is red hat, fantastic, we're good, aren't we? Because correct, abstain. If this one got it wrong, didn't have red, but these had red and blue, we're also happy, aren't we? Because got it wrong, swung to the two corrects, abstained. Our only problem case is the annoying case where this person didn't have a red hat, and these two didn't slip on red on blue, and also these didn't have odd number of reds. Okay, that's the only problem case for us. Alright, I hope you see the pattern now. Next, of course, I want 8 people. Why 8? Because I want to swarm all those 7 things go wrong. So at the very point, I want one more. So that's now 8 people. So the next group is going to be person 8 up to person 15. And what are they told? The same thing. They're told if the previous 7 will, comma, at voting time, comma, get the majority right, we abstain. Abstain meaning these 4 told vote even if we're told vote odd. And if they not, so I'll write this one down, if previous 7 will vote correctly, we abstain. And if not, so if they all get wrong, all 7, we'll do it as a block, which is beat them, same with each other, we'll all vote by saying let's pretend we have odd number of reds. We have one or three or five votes accordingly. Makes sense. If not, pretend we, that's the eight of us, have an odd number. And so on. So it's past 2 months, so I've done it. 1, 2, 4, and 16, and so on. The 10th group has size 512. So that makes one in 2 months. So 10 groups. Okay. Does that make sense? We haven't analysed it to make sense. Okay. Now, when does the service system fail? There were 10 blocks of people, generally the rules always were, the 7th block of people, they look at the earlier 6 blocks and they say, if those guys collectively get it right, we abstain. If not, pretend odd number. Right. So here's the only problem case, this only failed if each block has an even number of reds. But I resisted the sort of sad macro temptation. I could have written here, I pretend I have one number of red hats. I think we here, I could have gone saying, I could have said, we pretend that we have an odd number of red hats between them. I didn't say that because that's what I was doing. Right? So the only time we've heard that this happens, if the first 6 blocks had even numbers of red, but magical block 7 had an odd number of red, then the first 6 are going to vote in a rubbish wrong way, but block 7 will say, we see they get it wrong, we vote as a block, we get correct, of course, and the later blocks will see the movement and then they'll abstain. So as long as any block at all on that list, the first, second, third, any block, one or more blocks, if any block has odd number of reds, we win, don't we? Because the first blocks, the third block that didn't get it right will mess up. The first block gets it right, swap the earlier lot, because 8's more than 1 before, and so on, and all later blocks have second. Okay, so what's the chance for that happening? What's the chance that each of our 10 blocks has an even number of red hats? Let's take a block with, say, 16. What's the chance that, I'm afraid the audience is ready for every moment, but I just warn you. What's the chance that, say, the block of 16 people have an even number of red hats? That's the same as saying you toss a coin 16 times, get an even number of heads. Agree? Because remember, each hat is coin toss. So the chance, what's the chance of, in 16 coin tosses, a fair coin of course, the number of heads by the way, what are the outcomes? How many heads could there be? It could be 0, 1, 2, dot 16. The 7 equals outcomes, right? Because they're not really likely. Right, the chance of 0 heads is pathetically small. The chance of 8 heads is much higher, of course. But in total, is this chance more than 50% that number of heads is even? Is it exactly 50%? Or is it less than 50%? Right, the chance that in 16 coin tosses, the number of heads is an even number. So, voting time again. So who votes that the chance that the number of heads is even is more than 50%? 0. 0. Who votes it's exactly 50%? Who votes it's less than 50%? 2. OK. okay, the majority got it right, it's 50%. Why is it 50%? Of course, YouTube guys can't speak, but it is for speaker. So the other 9 of you at 50%, do you have a reason why 50%?
I think this is a number of binomial difference in some of them and half of them.
But why is that on top? Why do they even coefficients out the odd coefficients? But it's not fair. It's the coefficients are not all equal, they're up and going down. The binomial coefficients go from 0 up to 16, they're going up the middle and down again.
Yeah, and if you add all the evens, and then they should be equal to all the odds.
Why?
Because they're symmetric.
Now, artistically, if I said 17, then you're absolutely right, because the chance of 4 heads is the chance of 13 heads, and those are even and odd. So if I was odd, that would be a useful argument. However, sadly, I gave you 16.
That doesn't work.
If those odd number of tosses didn't work, it's even, this is symmetric, but the reflection of an even is again an even. That's the trouble. It doesn't work. The chance you get 4 heads is the chance you get 12 tails, and they're both even numbers, unfortunately. So that doesn't work. Okay. Anybody else have a reason, a possible reason? That's 50%? Well, no, that just says you've got some horrible formulas and you might have an answer 50 or less or more. Would you have a particular recursive argument in mind? You can solve a recursion, but I don't know in advance why I like 50% rather than more or less than 50%. I agree you could solve that way, I totally agree. But I don't know which of those the answer would give eventually. It's just a different mind that I'm not following. Anybody else? So here's one reason why it's true. Take your 16 coin tosses and have a pause after the first 15 before the last one. Okay? So take a deep breath just before the last coin toss. Do you agree that whatever you see in the first 15, 0, 5, even or odd, there's exactly one chance in 2 that your final coin toss makes an even number? Right? If you've got an odd number so far, you need this to be heads to get to even, one chance in 2. If you've got an even number so far, again, it's got to be odd, it's got to be tails, one chance in 2. So whatever your first 15 tosses are, there's exactly one chance in 2 that your final toss make the number of heads even. And that was one chance in 2.
That's what that means.
Oh, I'm sorry,
just
okay, okay. But how did they answer 15? Okay. Good. So that's one chance in 2. Okay. So what's the chance that our voting method fails? So the chance that our clever method fails. Remember, it only fails when in each one of the 10 groups, the number of heads was even, right? So only when we fail. So that is, one chance in 2, the first group got it wrong. One chance in 2, the second, one to the third, right? Each group is one chance in 2, as just said. 10 times, which is 1 over 2 to the 10, which is 1 over 1 over 2, 4. Which is pretty small, that's about 0.1%. So our voting system got it right 99.9% of the time. So it's not just better than 97.5, it's much, much, much better. Right, it's 1 over 40 to 1 in 1,000 chance of failure. Oh, I just wanted to, if you just believe me, if your number isn't a power of 2, I don't know, like 1,000, you make some of these groups slightly bigger and take the rest. Yes?
So I have some sneaky feeling that it wasn't independent vote.
That They weren't independent, correct?
Yes, so we are comparing methods. The first example was fully independent.
No, they wasn't independent. No. The rules are only, you mustn't cheat. Legal versus legal means that once you're in the room, you can't talk. You decide before the room what you do. Once you go in, this is it. So the independent, even saying majority isn't independent of each other. Even majority wasn't independent. Independent is the one case that is a half. If you just said, vote for the majority, that wasn't dependent. It's very rare to see independent of each other. Again, if I just say, I'll vote according to that three's hat, they're not independent. So none is independent. And they're all legal mechanisms. The rules are only, once you're in the room, you can't communicate, you can't pass deliberation. No, I checked this a few times. If there were seven people, which is 2 to the 3 minus one, there'd be 3 groups. No, it's 10. Oh, actually, this is 2 to the 0, not 2 to the 1. 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2. Three. Okay. Yes.
It's part of the trick that in the first group you didn't have to know the sequencing, whereas in the second group you actually need to know.
Well, everyone's got a name. Initially, people all have names, like Fred, Bob, Joseph, Alice, and so on. Right? They're actual people. That's why.
Okay. So you can differentiate people.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to say it's not a straight through system. If you can't tell people apart, so in actual, they're listed in the line left, right, if you like. If you can't tell people apart, then you're all special immune systems. And then, because they can't do better than the previous system I showed you. But here, we're in the world of asymmetric, exactly. What's different is we're now asymmetric. But that shouldn't be held. It should be utterly obvious that the fact you can differentiate people shouldn't make a difference, because it can't make a difference to how you're going to vote. Initially, everyone's equal. Alice is as important as Bob at the beginning. So I think it's really weird that by being non-symmetrical, you beat the special case. That really shouldn't be the case somehow. But it's weird. There's a huge answer. Okay, and I'll leave you with two homework exercises. One is to show that, as I mentioned before, amongst all symmetric voting systems, vote with majority is always best. I think I showed you, can't beat them. And the other is to show that actually amongst all systems, this is the absolute winner. So this is the thing here, which is wrong 1 in 1 or 2 or 1 or 2 4 of the time, is the absolute winner. So you might have to try those two questions as your homework exercises. And I'll stop there. That was my digression to explain what what independence means. It was a fact that two things which you might implicitly think are independent may not be independent. So in the Simpsons paradox argument, of course, in my initial argument, the guy with the grave didn't say out loud to himself, let me assume these are independent, he just did something. And similarly here, if you run the maths proof of the thing, which we know isn't true, it turns out what you need is independence. It was just an element of independence. It was just a digression. It wasn't part of the main story.
I want to criticise the example you gave, the Simpsons paradox, because any real fan of baseball match would know exactly where the match was happening.
Oh, okay. Okay. Perhaps you woke up for 10 years sleep or something.
Simultaneously, secondly, for the understanding of the non-independent voting systems, isn't the underlying reason that any two voters actually have complete information?
Oh, but they can't pass it between each other.
Oh, I know. But as soon as you make it non-independent, you're effectively conveying information.
That's true, yes. That's correct. You're not conveying information, because you can't...
Yeah,
no, but in some weird way sharing.
You're conveying information into the answer, into the final majority answer.
In a sense, yeah. Yeah, you're conveying information into the final answer. And of course, between you all, you have enough information to determine it.
Not just between two of you.
Between two of you, right. But it's amazing that you can convey that to the answer. Amazing, you can actually do that somehow.
It's like your last problem on the fourth sheet that you tend to produce with infinite number of people.
Ah, okay. Yes, that's all about taking agree on the information. They can agree on a statement all the time.
Yeah, it's a different problem. Yeah.
It's like, no, if they can agree and somehow share a picture about talking to each other, that has a common truth. Yeah.
Then you real life application.
Oh, the answer is yes.
So,
the question?
Is there a real life application of this? So actually, yes, this didn't come from people, this was the work in the 1980s, it didn't actually come from thinking about hats. It came from the following. Generic kind of question. So first let me rephrase the question a different way. We've got 1,000, I'll separate the people the hats from there. So I've got 1,000 boxes, box 1 up to box 1,000. And I've got 1,000 agents or people or choosers. And no agent has full information. Because each agent knows about 999 boxes. That's the same with the hat box, isn't it? So the agent number 101 knows every box, part of box number 101. Same with people with hat. They're trying to vote to get something right. Now, in a lot of computer applications, we have some huge thing, isn't it? Some huge array of processes, infinite processes. And they're trying to do some global choice, like how should I route this information? Or when should we send information across to some protocol? Now each processor might only know about the local behavior. So perhaps each processor knows not about all but one, but only about 1% of the processors. You might think, okay, obviously they can't, between them, vote, i.e. they're trying something, so as to make something global happen. But actually they can. So if you run what I've shown you here, in this example, each of the agents knew 999 pieces of information. You can make it 10% information, it still works. It's a similar sort of thing. You distribute 30 blocks of agents, each one knows 10%, you distribute some random kind of way. Again, it turns out there are methods to get it right nearly all the time. And that's used quite a lot in thinking about computer architecture. And there are various computer science papers which say, of course, in the following case, of course they can't do it all half the time, and they're just wrong. And if a lot of computer science things are based on doing this in clever ways. Of course, each time you said the way, what you said, what the way is clear works. So once someone said to you, that's a problem, voted with the majority, does it work? You think, yes, it works. But the applications for main distributed processing are cases when the agents know a lot less than 999 information, small amount. But still the same thing works. I should say that in those cases, people don't know the exact right answer. In the example I've shown you, I mentioned that symmetric best and the general best, and they've proven the node best. Was one of the homework exercises. In cases like this, when you know 10% information, people don't know the best answer, they just know here are something that get you more than 50%. So any time that different entities, like processes, are trying to make decisions, which then influence things globally, and each one doesn't know at all enough to make a decision, it can still happen between the other hands. That's the kind of thing that this came from.
I mean, in the end, it is computational, isn't it? You can program it. And
absolutely, yes,
yeah,
sure.
That's the application, yeah.
Yeah, it's completely. And of course, once you realise this can happen, then in any problem about synchronous choosing of things and so on, once you've banished from your head the idea, of course I can't be 50% of the time, then you may think and find a clever method that works. Of course you might not, it might fail. But you may go take some clever method.
I mean, it's so amazing, you can be right, you know, 97.5% of 90%. It just seems so amazing.
I agree. It should be that the voting system is rubbish because each person's vote is rubbish. I totally agree. It's amazing.
Amazing,
isn't it? Yeah. It's amazing you can beat 50%.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that even given that, the symmetric system isn't obviously the best you could ever achieve. It's best to differentiate people. Both just extraordinary facts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. be great, but if you have red and blue hats, then we could try this out. I mean, you know, it brings it to life. It? Well, very interesting. And I mean, how nice not to have PowerPoint. So, well done.
Peter.